This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of our buddy there, Creedence Clearwater. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, October the 19th. Wow, we are moving through this month, are we not? We are going to be talking in a few minutes with E.J. Antony of the Heritage Foundation about how Americans have lost about $34,000 in their retirement accounts since Joe Biden became president. Think of that, $34,000 on average. And while Nancy Pelosi dismisses recent polls that show Republicans will trounce Democrats next month, Biden is slurping ice cream cones and focusing on how he can boost Democrats to get out, go to the polls. We're going to look at that as well. And in another edition of Campus Quackery, we visit the Windy City and a school sidewalk display. So stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, our last show, we had the top 10 most dangerous cities. So today, the top 10 safest cities. Towards the end of our program. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, don't forget to listen to the Senior Voice America radio show. They come on just before our show does. They're actually on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk radio network. It's a great show. So, just a couple of weeks away now from the elections. I think the Democrats are panicking. I think that Nancy Pelosi apparently, of course, what is she going to say? Is she going to go around saying, hey, all is doomed. All is doomed. I'm going to be gone. We've really blown it this time. We are going to be swamped. All you're going to see from me is ass and elbows on the way out. No. You're not going to hear that from her. Ed's over there laughing. No, you know what she said? She's been on TV talk show. She insists that polls showing a grim midterm election outlook for the Dems are mistaken. They're all wrong. And actually, she says Democrats are in great shape for Election Day. She was being interviewed, I guess, by something called Punch Bowl News, which was released today. And this is after polls from both the New York Times and the Associated Press indicate big gains for Republicans in the upcoming elections. The poll shows that the top issues for Americans are the economy and inflation, and that they trust Republicans to handle those two things better than Democrats. Here's what she had to say about inflation. She says, inflation's an issue, but it's global. It's global. What's their plan? They ain't got nothing. I guess she was referring to the Republican there. She says, when you bring down unemployment, inflation goes up. So in any case, Biden brought unemployment down, cut it in half. Inflation is thereby by... But it's global, she says, and not as bad as it is in some countries. She says, we'll have to message it better in the next 3 weeks ahead. She says, I think we're in great shape. Other people don't want to believe that. Okay.
I'm not buying it.
It's like the entire country doesn't believe it, Nancy. So no. They must all be mistaken because you say we're in great shape. I don't think so, Nancy. We'll find out. But I don't think people are in such great shape. And you know what's becoming a big issue? Crime. Or not crime, I'm sorry. The school educational situation is becoming a bigger and bigger issue. It says here, as education increasingly becomes a focus in the midterms, a new survey, I think it was done by Fox News, finds 8 in 10 parents are concerned about what's being taught in schools. The only thing worrying them more than that is inflation. Also, most parents think there are problems within the school system, including, by the way, books that are banned by school boards, and parents not having enough say, but too much focus on race and transgender policies.
You know, I think parents are more aware these days because they're showing up at the meetings, the school board meetings, and voicing their opinion, even though they're being labeled as domestic terrorists.
I think there's no question about that they're showing up.
Yeah.
I think it's been...
They're more aware of it now.
In the long run, it's actually gotten parents more involved with their kids than it's ever been in a long time.
Maybe they've slacked off for too long, you know?
Exactly.
Sorry.
Exactly.
This is what's been going on. Slowly
but surely. Now they're going and looking. Yeah. They're looking under the rug now when it comes to the school situation. Now, voters point to a set of problems within the school system. The largest issue is book banning. 77% say it's a problem. Second, parents not having enough say in what's being taught. That's 64%. Third, too much focus on race. That's 60%. And fourth, overly accommodating transgender policies. I would say actually tied with too much focus on race at 60%. So that's very interesting. The first thing to get schools in better shape is actually for parents to understand and be involved. Because once you get that going, it's amazing how quickly teachers shape up. And when they realize that parents will now take action or take their kids to another school, they have to get better.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it is. So let's do this. Let us take our break because we're going to bring on E.J. Anthony. And we're going to talk a little bit about how, thanks to Joe Biden, the average retirement that a U.S. citizen has in his account has lost $34,000 since Biden took office. So let's take our break and then we'll talk with EJ.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madame Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold captive. She
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, and delighted to have back E.J. Antony, who is a research fellow for regional economics at the Great Heritage Foundation. And he has penned a piece in the New York Post, along with Stephen Moore, entitled Average American is Losing $34,000 and Everything Else on Biden's Watch. E.J., welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure, of course. Well, this is very sad. This is very scary. And I have a retirement program, and I'm not even looking at it anymore. I'm afraid to look at, you know, I watch the stock market. And I guess the stock market the last couple of days has been up, but overall it's been tough. But
no, absolutely. This has been a horrendous year, but not just for stocks, for bonds too. You know, one of the things we found when we did our analysis is that in the last 95 years, we've only had four times when both stocks and bonds were negative. And this is one of those years. Two of the other 4 years were in the Great Depression.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing what's going on right now. And if you have to go all the way back to the Great Depression, you can realize how tough things are. But so Biden just seems to be almost cheerfully ignoring what's going on. He rarely refers to it. He's going to go around, I guess, to a couple of states, I think out in California, and he's going to try to boost the chances of some Democrats. But is he not aware of what is going on with people's income?
You know, amazingly, not only does he seem unaware of what's going on, but he's proclaiming exactly the opposite. He talks about how people are doing better, how wages are up, how the economy is strong as hell, as he put it. I mean, my goodness, nothing could be further from the truth. The economy literally contracted in the first half of this year. Job growth is slowing. Consumer spending has become anemic. Investment is declining. I mean, the only large positive contributor we have to GDP right now is the fact that the trade deficit is shrinking, but as the dollar continues to strengthen relative to other currencies, that's going to reverse. I mean, literally everything from housing to income to investment and more is pointing in the wrong direction right now.
And I have a theory. Democrats realize this. They know what their policies have done. They're not ignorant of it. They just have to cater to the concept that the government needs to take control of our country financially more than allowing people to make their own decisions with their own money. I think they've really bought into the socialistic philosophy.
Well, what's really sad, and this goes to show you that it's really a question of policy and not politics, is that many of the mistakes of this administration were first made by the previous administration. And despite the benefit of hindsight, the Biden administration has chosen to double down on all of those mistakes. And even during this administration, Republicans have been complicit in over $1 trillion of excess spending. So far from a one-party problem, this has become a systemic issue in our politics today.
Indeed. So it looks like we're going to be able to, I shouldn't say that, but Republicans are going to be able to take the House in a couple of weeks. And that would be stifling whatever Biden's future plans are economically. But of course, Biden will not allow a Republican economic program to get through as well. So are we just, do you feel we're going to be in for 2 years of just headbutting economically?
Well, from the standpoint of the markets, that's not even all that bad. One of the things that the markets understand is uncertainty. And when you have a gridlocked government, that eliminates a lot of uncertainty. Because even though things may continue in a bad way, you at least know the direction, you know the magnitude. And so that removes a lot of uncertainty, and it allows businesses and individuals to plan for the future. Obviously, in an ideal world, we would be rolling back all of these terrible regulations, the horrendous expansion of the welfare state. We would be reducing or getting rid of the taxes that were imposed in the Inflation Reduction Act, for example. You know, those are all ideal situations, but we don't want the best to be the enemy of the good, and we'll take any improvement we can get at this point.
E.J. Anthony, we are talking with him. He is a research fellow for regional economics at the Heritage Foundation, and he and Stephen Moore wrote a piece that has appeared in the New York Post about how the average American is losing about $34,000 in retirement savings during Biden's watch as president. So, EJ, do you think the Republicans have formulated or verbalized enough of what they will do economically if they take back both houses of Congress?
And take this with a grain of salt. I'm a monetary scientist, not a political scientist. But it certainly seems to me like Republicans have done a very poor job articulating what their vision is and precisely how they are going to improve the country in many respects. And again, you point to the Republicans' record during the Biden administration, and what you find is that not all, but many Republicans have been complicit in these spendthrift budgets and these insane deficits, which have driven inflation and which have just absolutely crushed American families. If you look at the typical family, let's say you have an average worker, for example, they are making $3,000 less if you look at actual purchasing power. In other words, how much your paycheck can actually buy. This administration loves to cite that wages have increased, and that's true, but prices have increased so much faster that your purchasing power has gone down. So the typical worker, the average worker, is now making the equivalent of $3,000 less a year. Your typical family has two parents working now, so now you're looking at $3,000 and another $3,000. That's $6,000 per household that has gone out the window. I mean, that is just absolutely devastating people.
Are we in a recession technically right now?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, so more and more people are no longer asking me, you know, are we headed to a recession? Because we already had the recession. The first half of the year, the economy contracted. I mean, that's not my opinion. That's just what the numbers say. The numbers are what they are. And they tell me that the economy, as measured by gross domestic product, shrunk for two quarters in a row. So going forward, though, I mean, it very much looks like the third quarter of the year, which we just wrapped up, is going to come in positive, again, because the trade deficit shrunk, and when that shrinks, that adds to our GDP. But after that, all bets are off. So much of this economy is just running on fumes right now, and I unfortunately do not see any positive indicators on the horizon.
Oh, that's not a good sign. Do you think eventually, say, the price of gasoline or the price of milk or eggs or something, are we going to get back to the actual price, say, for a dozen eggs as it was before Biden took office eventually? Or is it like everything else? It never completely comes back down again.
You know, sadly, this is the ratcheting effect that you see with a fiat currency. Fiat currency meaning it's a currency by decree, right? If you look on a dollar bill, it says that this note is legal tender. That means you have to accept it under penalty of law. There's nothing backing the dollar. It's simply debt. And so because you don't actually have to secure the dollar to a gold standard, for example, a certain weight of gold, we continuously see this pattern of inflation where the dollar loses value and then prices stabilize. And then we're right back on the roller coaster a few years down the road where the dollar is losing value again. And as the dollar loses value, we see that in the form of price increases. So unfortunately, no, I don't see any indication that prices are going to go back down to the level where they were just 2 years ago. The increases may stop, but that's little consolation to somebody who already can't afford their standard of living right now.
Do you think that Federal Reserve is doing the right thing with these incremental increases in the interest rate?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if anything, they need to be increasing rates harder and faster, but really, they should have done this 2 years ago, or at least a year and a half ago, when all the warning signs were there that we were going to have this inflationary scourge. This is the equivalent to a doctor ignoring a stage one cancer diagnosis, and instead of delivering low doses of chemotherapy that would do very little harm to the patient and kill the tumor, the doctor instead juiced the tumor with human growth hormone in the form of these low interest rates and asset purchases. And now we have a stage four tumor to worry about, and we have to hit it with incredibly hard doses of chemotherapy. That's these high and fast interest rate hikes. And now we're going to do a tremendous amount of harm to the patient in the process. Now, it's still the right move. You don't say, well, forget it, just let the cancer go because it's stage four. No, you still try to save the patient. The problem is now the medicine that's required is going to do a whole heck of a lot of harm to the patient in the process. And by the way, the Fed's mission is now made even harder by the fact that Congress and the president continue with these massive deficits. And what that does is it means the Fed needs to slam on the brakes even harder. And the harder they slam on the brakes in this economy, the more people are going to get thrown through the windshield.
It's an interesting analogy, and a good one. We're talking with E.J. Antony. He is a research fellow for regional economics at the Heritage Foundation. And we're talking about how much money people have lost since Joe Biden became president. So we're in a situation here where, I don't know, the malaise that we are going through kind of reminds me, and I'm old enough to remember when President Carter was around doing his thing. But I think it's so much worse that because everything is going wrong. It's not just gasoline problems, you know, it's not just interest rates and inflation. It just seems like everything has come together and collapsed at the same time. And Democrats are not even focusing on any of this, in my opinion. They're just kind of blissfully wandering along. They're talking about other issues that have nothing to do with the economy.
Right. It's amazing how Democrats, again, I'm a monetary scientist, not a political scientist, so you know, consider this, you know, with some speculation, I suppose. But it certainly seems to me that Democrats are hanging their hat on the abortion issue as if that is the number one priority for many voters. But I have to tell you, when I talk to people on the street, none of them have voiced concern to me about their inability to abort their children. They're voicing a concern about their inability to feed their children because they're worried about the price of food. They're worried about, oh my goodness, I can't get gasoline and groceries this week. I have to pick one or the other. Oh my goodness, this month, I don't know if I can afford my rent or my prescriptions. I have to choose one or the other. Those are the concerns on people's mind. They're watching their credit card debt, for example, go through the roof. It's up over 20% since Biden took office, and now interest rates are rising on top of that. So what's happening to that credit card debt? It's getting more expensive to finance every month. You're putting people into financial debt spirals in some cases. I don't think our politicians really grasp how much this is hurting middle and lower income folks.
You know, another thing, speaking about debt, now we're down $31 trillion our country owes. At some point, people are not going to buy our debt. Now, we continue to pay off on the interest on the debt, so, you know. But do you think there's a chance that at some point down the road here, people are going to say, you know what, I'm not going to buy any more of the U.S. debt?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's happening in small amounts right now, because if you look at the interest rate, the yield on U.S. treasuries, because you have to remember that demand and those interest rates are inversely related. As demand for those treasuries drops, the yield will rise. That's exactly what's been happening to U.S. debt, and not just U.S. debt, but sovereign debt around the world. Investors are beginning to realize that countless countries around the globe have dug themselves into holes out of which they will likely never be able to dig themselves. In other words, the only way out is either to print worthless money or to default.
Well, I tell you, E.J. Antony, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I wish that we could be a little more optimistic about what is around the corner, but we'll just have to hope. In the meantime, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. All right. E.J. Anthony, the Heritage Foundation. We are going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, Biden slurping ice cream and focusing how he can help Democrats. And in another edition of Campus Quackery, we visit the Windy City and a school sidewalk display.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vaccaro, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on FreedomWorks on a Wednesday. Thank you so very much for being with us. Well, good old Joe Biden. You know, he's always good for a laugh, is he not? So he stumbled through an abortion speech yesterday. And he closed it off by saying, thank you, I'm sorry. Thank you, I'm sorry. He gave the speech during a Restore Roe rally, which was held by the Democratic National Committee in Washington, D.C. And while trying to express his support for abortion rights and Roe versus Wade, he said that he, quote, pushed hard, unquote, for married couples in their bedroom. I don't like the visual. I'm sorry, Ed. I don't want Joe Biden pushing hard for married couples in their bedroom. He says this, the right that I pushed hard and it finally got changed, the married couples in the privacy of their bedroom, excuse me, I'm thinking about the Dobbs decision, he said during this. So he's going back and forth. You know, he wanted to talk about abortion, but all of a sudden he's in the bedroom talking about, you know.
Do you think
who's in the bedroom, right?
Maybe the teleprompter had a moment or something.
Yeah, but he's always having a moment.
No, what I'm saying is,
I know.
You know, he just reads usually.
I know. Didn't he just give a website address and he goes, DOT.com. He said DOT.com at the end of it, not .com.
I can just imagine being on his staff and watching him go off the cuff and just basically being scared to death of what's going to be said.
That's right. I think every Democrat holds their breath. So let's see, where were we on this? In the meantime, Biden is also trying to figure out a way to do something to boost the chances that the Democrats will show up next month. He is harnessing his full powers to help Democrats with a series of executive actions that he hopes will help boost Democratic turnout. He has released millions of barrels of oil, as we know, from the Strategic Reserve. In fact, I don't even think he can legally do that, because if you look at what are the things that have to take place for you to grab the strategic reserve. We're nowhere near that kind of an emergency. He's doing it anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, doesn't there has to be some sort of a national emergency to dip into a certain amount of reserves? Because it's been going on now for how many months now?
Yeah. I mean, we've taken almost half of our strategic reserves. He's trying to lower the price of gas. That's why he's doing it.
Oh, I know. And it's really not going to make that much of a difference.
No. Nope. So he's released millions of barrels of oil from the reserve. GOP lawmakers say that the White House's political maneuvering was underscored this month when it was accused by Saudi Arabia and other oil states that they were pressured by Biden to delay production cuts until after the elections. I mean, that's completely political. Oh, we don't care if you're going to cut back on your gas and energy. Can you wait a little while? I mean, didn't they impeach Trump for trying
about
to interfere with,
thing, yeah, about holding
by going
money,
to another
yeah.
country? No. And then he's got other things he's done. He's taken a series of smaller executive orders that could boost incumbent Democrats running for re-election. He announced during a West Coast trip last week, he's going to designate Camp Hale, which is a World War II Army training center in Colorado. He's going to designate it a national monument. Now, this has long been pushed by Colorado's Democratic Senator Michael Bennett. So, you know, he's going around. He's going to try to, and I don't blame him. I think Republicans would probably do the same thing. But I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. We'll see where it goes. Now, it's another edition. It's time for another edition of Campus Quackery. And this takes us to Chicago and the University of Illinois, Chicago there, where a UIC official has been seen on video demanding that an anti-Marxist display that was set up by conservative students be removed from a sidewalk at the university. An anti-Marxist display. Can you believe that? Hey, listen to this. This is the official. He says there's a difference between public property and state property. Now, they're out on the sidewalk.
Right.
I guess it's on the same side of the street as the university or something. And he said there's a difference between public property and state property. He says public property is anybody can set up outside on the sidewalk. There's no issue. But inside, as in you're on this side of the street, we do have some policies that we're trying to share with you. Oh, is that right?
Well, you know what happened? Somebody wrote an email and complained.
Probably.
Which is caused to have it moved.
Yeah. Now, the sidewalk display was being carried out by a group called Young Americans for Freedom. And they had established a table on the sidewalk. This was back on October 10th for one of their events called No More Che Day, as in Che Guevara. Che Guevara. So Che Guevara was a communist. He was involved during the days before Fidel Castro and all that kind of thing, running around. He was a revolutionary. He was a Marxist.
Mm-hmm.
So the YAF is sponsoring a No More Che Day on the sidewalk on the anniversary of Che Guevara's death. And they were handing out literature regarding Guevara's history outside on the sidewalk. And so the video shows this guy coming up and saying, oh, well, you can't do this on the sidewalk here. He says the students that are involved with the display are heard pushing back with the official, saying that the sidewalk is public property. So the guy says, the official says, well, you can go across the street and you can set up your display over there. Anyway, It's just a little bit creepy. That's what I think. The whole thing.
Yeah.
If you go inside the UIC, they're big time Che Guevara.
Right.
You know. So there you go. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this Durham situation. He's lost a couple of these trials as he looks into the meddling by the FBI and Hillary Clinton into Trump's attempt to become president and the election. Okay, so a jury yesterday has found a Russian official who was the primary subsource of the anti-Trump dossier. The jury found him not guilty on 4 counts of making false statements to the FBI. Now, Durham, I thought, was trying to get at some point to the concept that the FBI was intentionally trying to affect the election in 2016. And he's won one minor case, and he's now lost 2 cases. Because earlier, a former Clinton campaign manager by the name of Michael Sussman had been found not guilty of making false statements to the FBI. So I don't know where Durham's going to go after this. He says this: while we're disappointed in the outcome, we respect the jury's decision and thank them for their service. So we'll see where they go with all of this. But, you know, it's been like 6 years Durham's been involved in all this investigation.
Wow.
And I wonder if his game plan is the right one. You would think that he'd be more prepared to win these cases.
Right.
And get the right guys on there on the stand and everything. But apparently not.
Hey, did you watch the debate last night?
No. I was asked that by our friends that were coming out of their show here, Senior Voice America. I didn't watch it. Go ahead, tell me about it.
I actually watched it from start to finish. It was only an hour.
Now, you talk about the Mark Rubio...
Val Demings
debate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me put it this way: Val Demings' opening statement, out of everything that's going on, her opening statement was, "We need to work on global warming and get a hold of these horrible hurricanes under control." That was her opening statement. Nothing about the economy, nothing about gas prices or anything like that.
Right.
She was to global warming.
So she was inferring that Hurricane Ian, which hit the Fort Myers area, was probably the cause.
You could
caused by global warming. That's
right.
That man-made global warming.
Well, when Trump was in office, because he was ignoring global warming, remember we had all the fires that were blamed on him. The excessive hurricanes, the earthquakes, and stuff like that. That was all because of Trump. But last night, it was very interesting to watch her body language. The parts she was uncomfortable with, she would kind of lean back with a sour face. And the things she wanted to talk about, she leaned forward and smiled. How she wanted to talk about abortion and stuff like that, and the right for a woman, and the fact that she voted on to get the prescription drugs lowered and insulin and all that. But she didn't mention that it's going to take another 3 years for it to actually kick in. And Rubio did better than the last time I saw him in a debate was the presidential one. It was horrible because he kept repeating himself over and over. He a couple of repeats, but I think he held his own, and I think I would have to say I tried to remain, you know, neutral
or objective.
But you know, I think he came out on top of that enough that I don't think she's going to get elected. I really don't.
I often wonder how much of a difference these debates make, because by the time they're involved in the debates, people have already made up their mind pretty much.
She kept
referring
over and over again that her father was a plumber and her mother was a maid. I don't care what they were. We're talking about you in office. I mean, Marco Rubio's parents came to the country the legal way, if you want to talk. Nothing about immigration, by the way. Nothing
no
about
kidding.
That. No.
Nothing you think that would be a big topic?
Well, it was very little, kind of skipped over real quick.
Do you feel that the moderators were objective, or, you know, not one side or the other?
I think they were. I tried to see if there was if I saw the Tampa Bay Times reporter in there, I was going to turn it off. You know, is one of the questions, but I thought it was fair, and Rubio got a pretty good rousing. The crowd basically jumped up when he talked. I believe about the economy, it was or whatever. Val Demings got a little bit of applause when she talked about lowering prescription drugs, because Marco Rubio voted against it because it doesn't kick in for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why they voted against it. So,
yeah.
But I think it was interesting. Now, the next one coming up is going to be between Charlie Crist and Governor DeSantis.
I want to see that one.
That one I will see also, but I was interested. It kept me interested, and it was at a good time too. It was at 7 o'clock, so people that have things that they watch at 8 o'clock, and you don't have to make a decision.
And it was on one of the local networks.
You know what channel was it? I think it was on it was on Channel 8.
Okay, the local NBC.
Yeah, but it was down. I can't tell you where it was. Where it was filmed, actually. I want to say West Palm or somewhere down there.
Okay.
But it was interesting.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, at 7 o'clock, I tuned in. I didn't know about the debate, but I had tuned in to the Lightning hockey game. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to talk about the fact that retired U.S. generals are going over and being employed by countries like Saudi Arabia. So what's going on there?
When I wake up in the morning, love.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ole, 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 ole. Ole, 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 ole.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us. And by the way, we appreciate when you listen to us live. But if you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, all of our programs are put on podcasts. All you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows up there, most recent show at the top, and you'll see who the guest is and what the top 10 topic is, ourfreedomworks.com. All right. So, a report that was published yesterday says that U.S. retired U.S. generals and admirals are taking high-paying top jobs with the Saudi Arabia crown prince and other people like him in oil-rich kingdoms in the Mideast. The Washington Post says that more than 500 retired U.S. military personnel, including scores of generals and admirals, have taken lucrative jobs since 2015, working for foreign governments, mostly in countries known for human rights abuses. Don't you think if you've been in the military and you've risen to the rank of general, don't you think that that's a bad look? It seems to me it might be. All of a sudden you're getting paid by Saudi Arabia for work with them?
Well, I mean, it'd be a big difference if they were working for China. But maybe Saudi Arabia, I don't know.
I wonder if some of them aren't working for China.
Well, then they should not be allowed back in the U.S. ever again.
Right. I mean, Saudi Arabia is supposed to be our friend, but it has not always been our friend. And remember, the Correct. Terrorists originally came from Saudi Arabia.
Correct.
So this is not a good look, I don't think.
Well, look. We talk about all those human rights violations, yet Biden goes over there and gives the guy a fist bump.
Yes.
And then when they go behind closed doors, hey, say, listen.
Pretty please.
Can you do us a favor and not cut back in that oil until after our midterms?
And, you know, funny thing, Biden said that was not the purpose of his trip.
It'd be funny if the prince said, no, because I voted for Trump.
I like Trump better than you. I don't want you to succeed. Yeah, a lot of good that trip. And then Biden says, oh, no, that was not the main purpose of the trip. Remember
then
he said
was?
That? He said the main purpose of the trip was not to get the Saudis to pump more oil.
Well, then what was?
He never said.
Well, you know why he's not going to say? Because the Saudis, if he says it was something else, the Saudis are going to come out and tell us the truth.
Well, I mean, it's a blatant lie. Now, why doesn't the press hold his feet to the fire on something like that when he says that?
Well, the Saudis are the ones that came out and said, yeah, when he was here, he asked us to hold back cutting our production until after the midterms.
Yeah, he doesn't really give a damn about oil and about our ability to have enough of it. He only cares that it's going to help him get votes.
Exactly.
God, it's very scary. All right. Before we get to our top 10, and we have a good one, I watched our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning last night, and they were at home for their first game.
Yeah.
And they lost to Philadelphia. What is going on? I'm getting a little worried about them.
Well, it's early. The same thing as a lot of games left.
That's about the best answer you can give.
Every team will say at the beginning, you know.
Yep. And also now we have the Yankees beat Cleveland last night.
Yeah.
So the Yankees will face Houston in the American League finals.
Did you notice three of the four remaining teams all have payrolls in the mid-200 millions?
That low?
230, 225. The Padres, I think, are the lowest one at 215 million.
Wow.
The Yankees are up there. Of course, the Dodgers are number one, but they're out.
They are.
But the Yankees are, and the Boston Red Sox are way up there, too, and they didn't even make it.
No.
But, yeah, three of the four remaining teams' payrolls are all in the 200 millions.
Wow. So we got Philadelphia playing San Diego in the National League. Philadelphia's doing very well, aren't they? They're doing well in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They're undefeated in hockey. They're in the National League playoffs. They're doing well right now.
Yeah.
God is looking down on Philadelphia.
And you know what? I'm gonna root for the Phillies because they train here in Clearwater.
Okay. That's a good reason.
And I'm a Yankee hater anyway, so.
Well, it's going to be easy then for you.
Easy, yeah.
So you'll be rooting for Houston to beat the Yankees.
Well, that's kind of hard to pick a team there because Houston's a bunch of cheaters.
Oh.
You remember,
well, maybe you're
going to
root for the Yankees then.
With the whole beating on the garbage can.
That was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, it's time for our top 10, Ed. And you might remember the last time we did this, we did the 10 most dangerous cities. Do you remember what was number one by any chance?
I forgot.
I shouldn't hold your feet to the fire, though. It was St. Louis.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And Fort Lauderdale was second.
Right.
That was kind of a surprise, wasn't it?
Right.
All right.
I can rest assure you that number one safest will not be Chicago.
I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to wait. So here we go. Now, this is a Wallet Hub. They compared more than 180 cities across 42 key indicators of safety. It says here their data ranged from percentage of residents who are fully vaccinated. I don't know what that has to do with it, but anyway. And assaults per capita to the unemployment rate and road quality. So here we go. Number 10. Lewiston, Maine.
Okay.
That's a little town. I don't know why they would even consider it.
Maine.
What?
I've always still want to go to Maine, see Maine.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. Number 9. Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah,
Interestingly,
Carolina.
They just had that shooting.
Yeah.
But it's considered one of the safest. Number 8, Burlington, Vermont. And I can visualize that. Burlington, it makes me think of a peaceful New England community. Everything is mellow.
And maple syrup.
Right. Maple syrup. Number 7, Gilbert, Arizona.
Okay.
It must have been named for
Never
somebody named Gilbert, and he was very peaceful. Number 6, Yonkers, New York. Do you know where that is, Ed?
Yes. Yeah.
Where is it?
It's upstate, I believe, New York.
Upstate New York.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number 5, Warwick, Rhode Island. You know, that's another one where I think peaceful, laid back. Okay, number 4. Another Maine city, Portland, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3. Laredo, Texas.
Wow.
Number 2. Back up to the New England area, Nashua, New Hampshire.
Wow.
All right, Ed, what do you think's number 1? It's Biden country.
Virginia? No. Maryland? No. Where's he from? Maryland?
Yeah. That's close enough. Columbia, Maryland.
Okay.
Columbia, Maryland is the safest place. That's because Biden goes there and he has all the Secret Service there. That's why. All right. Thank you so much. We're going to be back on Friday, God willing. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.